Well, friends, school started this week, and that means new school supplies, that means new clothes, that means new teachers, and that means new classmates. And for a lot of kids, it also means new anxieties, new stuff to worry about. What if my teacher is mean? Will I have any friends in my class? Are my clothes okay? That's particularly scary in junior high, right? And what if I miss the bus? Yeah, even in high school, that still happens. What if I miss the bus? Kids get nervous when they go back to school, but parents are sometimes even worse than their kids. There's nothing cuter and sadder than watching mom and dad drop the kid off at kindergarten for the very first time. And to see this smiling child running to the class, and you see mom and dad barely holding it together out in the hallway, fighting back the tears, trying to stay brave for the sake of their kids. They've got their own worries, their own anxieties, these parents. Are there bullies at this school? Will my child experience the rejection that I felt when I was in school? Is my daughter going to hang out with the good kids? Good kids. Is my son going to forget his lunch again? Going back to school can produce a lot of anxiety. And fear is not all bad. Fear is what gets you on the right bus at the end of the school day. Fear is what actually makes you study for the test in the first place. Fear's not all bad, but it can quickly become anxiety, where you're worrying about things you can't control. You're obsessing. You're ruminating over things that are beyond your power to make a difference of. Ah, that's anxiety. And that's not so good. In this morning's scripture, Paul tells us, do not be anxious about anything. Does that make you anxious to hear that? It's kind of ironic, right? Especially for people who struggle with anxiety. They hear those words. Am I being a good Christian? Because I still worry, I still fear. Paul's not trying to lay a guilt trip on any of you or any of the Philippians back then. He's trying to invite you into a relationship of trust with God, where whatever comes your way, you're going to be able to turn to God and trust that he's got you under the shelter of his wing. So don't throw away your anxiety medication. Keep using it if the doctor told you to. Don't leap to the conclusion that once you believe in Jesus, you're not going to have any more trouble, any more problems in your life. That's not what the Bible teaches. It's an illusion that we've come up with on our own. But knowing God gives you eternal perspective, you can still experience joy. You can still experience peace no matter what comes your way. Let's turn to the end of Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 4, verses 4 through 9, where Paul encourages us to rejoice. Paul encourages us to pray. Paul encourages us to give thanks to God, and that helps us find that elusive peace that we are hungry for. Hear the good news. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Words to live by. Amen. The Christians in Philippi were feeling a mite anxious. People were picking on them because of their faith in Jesus Christ. You see, Philippi was a military town. A lot of war veterans from the wars of Rome settled in Philippi when they retired. And these Roman patriots, they didn't appreciate it when these Christians decided to worship Jesus, and they decided that that meant that they would no longer worship Caesar. They didn't like it at all, and so they were picking on the Christians. Now, this is a little early for Christians to be dying for their faith, but it is true that they were getting picked on. Maybe they were losing friends. Maybe they were losing jobs. There's a good chance people were getting beat up because of their faith, roughed up because of their faith in Jesus. The church, frankly, should have seen this coming. The book of Acts tells us that Paul incited a riot the first time he preached in Philippi. Paul and his friend Silas were stripped naked, they were beat with rods, and they were thrown into prison. But Paul and Silas were not anxious in that terrifying situation. They stayed up all night singing praises to God and praying. That's what they were about. The Bible tells us that they spent the night just praying and singing, and then the earth started to shake. Talk about anxious, right? And the prison doors broke open. Instead of escaping when they had the chance, Paul and Silas stayed put. And so when their prison guard, who was almost certainly a veteran himself, a retiree from the Roman military, came in, he was about to commit hara kiri to preserve his honor after losing the people in his control, his possession, they stop him. And they save his body, and they save his soul, and they baptize him in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. In fact, his whole household, they baptize him. That is the beginning of the church in Philippi. It happened in a prison cell with prayer, with thanksgiving, and rejoicing because a man who should have died lived. And two guys that were beat up and naked still trusted God. The letter to the Philippians is a note of encouragement that comes from another jail cell. Paul's in jail again. Surprise, surprise. Most likely, he's in a jail in Rome. Most likely, he's on death row. You'd think he'd be pretty depressed, right? You would think he was pretty anxious, right? But instead, he's sending letters to his friends back in Philippi saying, don't be anxious about anything. He's saying, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. It just doesn't make sense to have peace like that in a Roman prison. The Philippians wanted to have peace like that. I want to have peace like that. Any of you struggle with anxiety? How would you like to have peace like that? This morning, we're going to talk about the peace of God, which transcends all understanding and will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That sounds good to me. That sounds like good news to me. Paul connects peace to three important spiritual disciplines: rejoicing in the Lord always, prayer, and thanksgiving. Now, these are more than just good habits. For Paul, these are three devotional practices where the Holy Spirit really gets to work in our lives and changes who we are and makes us feel peace, the spiritual gift of peace from the Holy Spirit. Paul makes the very same recommendation in his first letter to the Thessalonians. He writes to them saying that if you want to experience the God of peace, you must rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and give thanks in all circumstances. Same three things in the same order in a completely different letter. Paul is convinced that these spiritual practices will help you discover the peace of God. And I got to tell you, psychologists confirm what Paul was saying. Modern psychological studies, scientific studies, verify what he said 2,000 years ago. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. What he's talking about is getting together to worship God and to sing praise songs. Basically, what we were just doing a moment ago when we were starting worship in music and praise. And sure enough, psychologists say that singing in the choir makes people happier. Incidentally, Pastor Randall's looking for a few more voices to sing in Handel's Messiah this year. Who wants to be happier this year? Really? No one wants to be happier this year? Come on, someone wants to be happy out there. You want to be happier this year? Try singing the Hallelujah Chorus, right, Pastor Randall? I've never seen someone frown when they're singing the Hallelujah Chorus. This stuff makes you happier. Scientific studies also demonstrate that prayer makes your life better too. Prayer improves self-control. Prayer makes you nicer. Prayer makes you more forgiving. Prayer increases trust. People who pray tend to be healthier and they tend to live longer. Praying for other people has also been shown to reduce anxiety. Who wants to be less anxious? Try praying for other people. Giving thanks has also been shown to reduce anxiety. Grateful people are happier, they're more empathetic, they have more meaningful relationships. Thankful people have better physical health, they have better mental health, and they sleep better. Who wants to sleep better tonight? Instead of counting your sheep, try counting your blessings tonight when you're struggling to fall asleep. I'm serious. This is a great anxiety reducer to just go, wow, you know, I've got a lot to be thankful for. Now, I think it's just swell that psychologists recommend some of the same things that Paul said 2,000 years ago, but Paul is just not singing the virtues of choral singing in general. Sorry, Randall, but it's not the point. Just the choral singing itself. And he's not just saying that meditation's good for you. And he's not just saying that writing thank you notes will make you a happier person. No, he's saying sing praises to God, which is what Randall teaches us. And he's saying pray to the God of Jesus Christ. That makes a difference in your life. And he's saying, make sure to thank God for all the good stuff that's going on in your life. That's what allows you to encounter the God of peace. It's not just my peace. It's knowing the peace of God. In fact, peace is not even the focus for Paul. He's just saying that peace is a natural byproduct when you have a relationship with this living God. Now, I want to tell you a story this morning of one of the most anxious moments in my life. It's true, pastors do get anxiety, but this is long before I ever was a pastor. I was a college student at the time, going to some school on the north side of Chicago called North Park. And my buddies and I decided to hop into a station wagon that was named Frenchie, and we drove from Chicago to the Upper Peninsula of Michigan to go camping in the Porcupine Mountains. Anyone? No, a couple? Okay, see, yeah, okay, got Michiganders here. You know what I'm talking about. Okay, so we were going up to the Porcupine Mountains, and we were exhausted after driving through Michigan all day. And so we did something I wouldn't normally recommend. We camped in the first campsite on the trail, about 100 yards from the parking lot. Not the best idea, because that's where the rookie campers camp. That's where people who spill a lot of food and don't clean up after themselves tend to camp. Not the ideal place to camp. Now, we finished our meal of hobo hash, terrible meal that night, lots of meat in it too, and my friend Jay and I were in charge of hanging the food in a tree. That's called bear bagging. And good bear bags should be 15 feet in the air so that no bear could reach it. We were overachievers. We hung that food 20 feet in the air. And a good bear bag should be at least 10 feet away from the trunk of the tree so bear can't reach out and swipe it, right? Well, again, we were overachievers. We hung that bag 15 feet away from the trunk of the tree. We felt like we were very smart young men. And so we hopped into our sleeping bags, circled around the campfire, and we fell asleep for the night. About 1 o'clock in the morning, I heard the most terrifying sound. Now, I grew up in the 70s, and the most terrifying sound imaginable for someone growing up in my generation is the sound of Darth Vader. And I heard that sound, only it was Darth Vader with a head cold. And then I felt something nudging me in the lower part of my back. You know that sensation you get when a dog puts its nose into you and gives you a little shove? You know that sensation? Everyone's been nosed by a dog, right? Okay, imagine that. Only when I was being nosed, the nose moved my entire body. So, I curled into the fetal position in order to protect my internal organs. This is what you're supposed to do. Because I was being shoved and nosed by a big black bear. God gave us fear for a reason. Fear helps you decide when it's time to fight and when it's time to take flight. I did consider for half a second punching that bear in the nose as hard as I could. Bears have very sensitive noses. I've heard that people have been quite successful. In fact, I read a news story just this weekend about a bear that attacked a karate master in Japan this weekend. This is not a joke. You can look this up. And the karate master, 62 years of age, beat up a black bear in Japan this weekend. I kid you not. I was reading the story going, wow, that's amazing. I am not a karate master. And I only briefly considered punching it in the nose. I felt much more comfortable curled up in a little ball. Black bears can run 30 miles an hour. I cannot run 30 miles an hour, especially when I'm in a sleeping bag. So I never realistically considered taking flight. So flight, no, or fight, no, flight, no. What option did I have left with all of my fear? Well, I was already curled up in sort of a praying position. And so I prayed. I prayed, sweet Jesus, take this bear away from me. Loving God, save my life from the bear. I will not claim that I felt particularly brave at that moment, but my sleeping bag was miraculously dry. What I will say is that when I prayed, I felt a peace that transcended human understanding. Paul says in today's scripture, the Lord is near. And that's the source of our confidence. That's why we can have peace. The Lord is near. I felt like the Lord was near. I felt like I wasn't completely alone in that sleeping bag. I mean, I was alone in the sleeping bag, but I didn't feel like I was all alone in that sleeping bag. Paul writes in his letter to the Romans, if we live, we live for the Lord. And if we die, we die for the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. And that's really hard for a 21-year-old college student to swallow, right? Living or dying, I'm with the Lord. That's hard. And yet, I felt trust in God. I felt like I was going to be okay, whether I lived or whether I died, because the God of love has promised to redeem my life, and I believed in that, and I still believe in that. And then a wonderful thing happened. The bear walked away. I was full of prayers of thanksgiving. And then the bear walked over to my friend Bruce. I got off easy compared to Bruce. The bear took its paw and started shoving my friend Bruce. Now, bears are like dogs, not like cats. They don't have retractable claws. Bear didn't mean any harm, but when the bear pulled away, it completely shredded the sleeping bag, ripped it open. Not a scratch on my friend Bruce. If you know anything about bears, you know the bear didn't want to hurt us. Bear didn't want to kill us. Bear certainly didn't want to eat us. It was just curious. It's a bear. What it wanted was our food. But some idiot hung the bear bag so high that the bear couldn't reach it from below or from the trunk, so it could just get our food and leave us alone. So the bear spent about a half an hour hopping on top of the branch that the bear bag was hanging from until, snap, the branch broke. And down came the food bag and the bear. And the bear ate most of our food, and what it didn't eat, well, it wasn't worth eating anymore anyway. Not one of us was really interested in, I'll say that in a moment. It ruined most of our food, and we got up. Finally, we found the courage to get out of our sleeping bags, and we banged some pots together. We yelled at the bear. We made as much noise as we possibly could, and the bear ran off into the darkness. And no one was really interested when the light of day came to go to a grocery store to replenish our supplies and to sleep in those woods one more night. This is the fear part again. We hopped into Frenchie, the station wagon, when we drove as fast as we could back to Chicago. We were done with camping for the night. Both Bruce and I are now covenant pastors. I don't know if that's a coincidence or if it comes from a common sense of grace. We all experience anxiety, but God can redeem the scariest moments of our lives if you can trust God when the bear comes. And you may not actually have a bear, but let's be honest. We all have a bear, right? If you can endure the bear, whatever the bear is, you could do other things like standing in front of people and telling your crazy story about how God redeemed your life from the pit. When you believe that it was God who was with you during the scary moments, it gives you the resiliency to rejoice in the Lord always, to pray without ceasing, and to thank God in all circumstances. Now, if you suffer from chronic anxiety, please hear me correctly. See a doctor. Take your medicine. Go to therapy. Do what you need to do, okay? The Bible's not saying you can just cure anxiety by doing these three things. But I would say, in addition to talking about therapy and medication, by all means, talk about these alternative therapies, they would call it, of rejoicing, singing, praying, Thanksgiving. Doctors, they're happy to talk to you about that. Absolutely. That's good too. Don't expect all the fear to disappear. Don't expect that you're going to be immune every time the balloon pops because you believe in Jesus. But in the scary moments of your life, you know you're not alone when you've got this relationship of God full of rejoicing, full of prayer, and full of thanksgiving. There really is a peace of God that transcends all of human understanding. It comes when we develop a meaningful relationship with God that keeps you company even in your sleeping bag, wet or dry, when the scary stuff comes. Honor God by singing His praises. Communicate to God with prayer and petition. Show some gratitude for thanking God for every person that you love, every meal that you eat, every breath that you take. Be full of thanksgiving. And God will be with you in the scariest moments of your life. And you will be full of joy. And you will know peace because you will not be alone. Amen.